We read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And you know that the verse goes on to say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the Bible from the get-go just assumes the eternal self-existence of one God. All the other gods of the peoples are false, but in the beginning, before there was anything else, there was one true God. And the classic question from kids when you tell them that God made them is, who made God? And it was the joy of my heart to teach my kids, no one made God. God never started. God never had a birthday. God has always been alive. He was never born. He's always been God. Moses sang in Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is the uncaused cause of all things. He owes his existence to no one and nothing outside of himself. And theologians have labeled this the aseity of God. In Latin, a se means from himself. God is a se. He is from himself. Which I believe is the most fundamental meaning to the name of God, Yahweh, which sounds like the Hebrew to be verb. Yahweh explained his name to Moses, I am who I am. I exist because I exist. No one created me, no one defines me, no one adds to me. All that I am in and of myself. For example, God does not draw his strength from anything outside himself because he is almighty. He doesn't have to eat to get energy because he has infinite power and life in himself, in his own being. God's knowledge doesn't depend on anything because God has infinite knowledge and wisdom in himself. And a heresy has been growing in popularity in the last few decades, even among once evangelicals, called open theism. Open theists claim that God cannot know the future. So I've got a couple extra paragraphs I'm going to leave for the notes for the sake of time to explain that and show even more fully than I can here that we stand with the scriptures that God is infinitely all-knowing. Psalm 147, verse 5, says, his understanding is beyond measure. 1 John 3:20 says, God knows all things. John 21, about Jesus, the God-man. Lord, you know all things. Job 37, God is perfect in knowledge. So God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all everything that he is in himself. Therefore, God never suffers lack that needs to be supplied to him. There's no deficiency in him. He is all sufficient. And that, I believe, is the meaning of the title for God, El Shaddai. You've probably heard that title for God before, El Shaddai. It's usually translated God Almighty. But the Hebrew Shaddai means enough. He is the God who is enough. So I agree with those who think that Almighty just unnecessarily restricts his enoughness to power, which is true, but he has enough of everything that he is. And so they translate El Shaddai as God all-sufficient. This aseity of God, this self-sufficiency of God has so many ramifications. It means that God never has to do something. Because he never needs anything. There's one crystal clear verse on this I'm going to save for the closing as we see how the doctrine of God affects our worship and obedience. For now, just say that God never has to do anything. He's totally free. Totally free to be himself and enjoy himself as an infinite triunity. For example, he didn't need to create the heavens or the earth. He didn't need a home. He didn't need to create us so that he would have somebody to love, as some assume. Because God is love in himself for all eternity. The Father loving the Son and the Spirit, the Son loving the Father and the Spirit loving the Father and the Son, each delighting in the infinite glories of the other members of the triune God. God has never been lonely. He didn't need to create anything, but he did. Not out of need, but out of the overflow of his joy in himself and in his glory. And God remains independent of his creation. We're not pantheists. Not everything is God. Creation is not the creator. All created things are totally dependent upon God for our existence, but God is not dependent upon us. God is the sustainer and the sovereign ruler of all things. He is the Lord, Adonai, the sovereign. He sustains and governs all things. He is working all things according to the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. So, now I have quickly touched on each of the components of our newly updated statement of faith, which we'll be unveiling each week here. We believe in one sovereign, almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient God. One of the kids is amening back there. So that's what we believe. So what? What are the two reasons that theology matters from last week? What are the two reasons that theology matters? Worship and obedience. First, the true revelation of God should produce humility and dependence. He is all sufficient, and I'm not. I am utterly dependent. I can't breathe or move or live or receive anything or do anything apart from the sustaining and governing providence of God. So instead of pridefully making plans as if I'm independent of God, these doctrines should humble me to say, if the Lord wills, I will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, I'll continue to exist. Because the only reason that I, as a finite creature, exist here right now is because God the Son is saying, be there. Hebrews 1:3 says that he is sustaining all things, literally carrying all things by the word of his power. Jesus' words are keeping me alive right now, every moment, enabling me to live and move and have my being in him. So these doctrines will affect how we serve God. The Bible commands that we serve God, but there's a way to serve God that's all wrong, as if I'm contributing something to God to meet his need from myself. Acts 17:24 is that key verse on aseity that I mentioned. Paul preaching to pagans in Athens, he said, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Here it is. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. What can I give to God who has everything he needs? How can I serve God who does not need to be served? The only proper way to serve God is through faith that all is grace. God has to give you everything. Anything that you give, anything that you do to serve God actually came from God in the first place. What do you have that you did not receive? Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 4:7. If then you received it, then why do you boast as if you did not receive it? These doctrines eliminate all grounds of boasting. Because all is grace. All we have and all we are in ourselves is given to us, undeserving creatures, by God. So the only proper way to serve God is by depending upon the grace of God to enable you to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The giver gets the glory. If you're giving to God to meet his needs, then you get the glory. But if God gives you everything you have and you give it back only by depending upon God giving you the strength to serve, then God gets all the glory. So I am praying that these few minutes would produce the fruit of more humble dependence upon El Shaddai, God all-sufficient for all we are and all we think and say and do for his glory. Finally, obviously, these things that I've said about God, which barely scratch the surface of the treasures in Scripture, should stir us to worship. I said last week that all theology ought to end up in doxology. And I so wanted to give this example, and here it is. After Paul wrote the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, with all its amazing theology about sin and wrath and propitiation, justification, sanctification, glorification, especially the theology of chapters 9, 10, and 11 about the sovereignty of God and calling the elect among Jews and Gentiles and hardening the rest. It's theology that perplexes all of us. After all that theology, Paul erupted into doxology. He said, Romans 11, 33, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how untraceable his ways. For who knew the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who gave to him and will be repaid by him? Because out of him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be the glory into the ages. Amen. Out of him, through him, and unto him. God is the giver, the governor, and the goal of all things. So these theological truths about God's infinite perfections and his sovereign self-sufficiency stirred Paul to worship. He said, to that kind of God, to the only God, be glory into the ages. And all God's people said, amen.